This is the May 18th, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 722 for property ID 357-70034. The property is owned by Vicki Lisbeth Coles. If there is any confidential testimony today, please let us know so we can begin a separate recording. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Rose, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Vicki Coles present over the phone for the appellant. We also have Deb Wexelblatt present as the spectator for this case. So I know we can't see you, Vicki, but go ahead and raise your right hand. We'll get you sworn in.
Okay.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2022. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you get a written response from this board as the outcome. You have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay, no questions.
Okay.
I sent a cover letter with several photographs of the property and its environs. The home is currently unoccupied and is being remodeled. And the proximity to SR 14 is a... What's the word I'm looking for? It's very noisy. Let's just put it that way. In the letter, I mentioned the approximate distance that SR 14 is from the front door of the property. When you're in the front of the property, you cannot hear anything due to the noise of Highway 14. When the house was built, the property was way outside the city limit. SR 14 didn't even exist. So things have changed greatly since Highway 14 was built in terms of access road and traffic on Southeast Evergreen Highway, which is always a problem with speeders, et cetera. The photos will show or do show deferred maintenance, and I realized that I did not include cost to cure with my initial filing, and I understand that you're not allowed to accept any further evidence at this hearing. However, I finally was able to talk to a couple of contractors, and cost to cure ranges from $80,000 to $100,000. So there's that as an aside. If you look at page 4, you can see how dilapidated the deck is to the point of just out and out dangerous to even walk on it. Pages 5, 6, 5 and 6 show how the siding has deteriorated. It's cedar siding, so that will need to be completely replaced. That's one of the big costs to renovate. And in page 7, you can see how overgrown the landscape has become. In the top photo on page 7, the Columbia River is out there somewhere, but you can only see it through that little tiny slice due to overgrown trees, et cetera. As I mentioned, finding a comparable property was very difficult because anything that would have been sold in the past year would have been in much better condition than this property is. So it's hard to come up with a comparable property. An appraisal was done in 2013, and I, in the cover letter, I indicated what the inflation, the 2013 dollars would be in 2022. I think I have covered most everything in the cover letter and the photograph. So if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Did the $80,000 to $100,000 cover all the things? Because that seems like a conservative estimate to me for everything that needs to be done to the house. There's no heating, no cooling, no kitchen. I mean, the list kind of went on and on. The contract.
Yeah, I was mostly I was concerned with the exterior of the house because of the siding and also the deck. Kitchen and heating we'll address later on. Right now, there is a not a wood stove, but a what's the word I'm looking for? We can heat the house with wood from the stove in the basement using fans and portable heaters, so we can stay warm while we're working on things.
And do you have the name of the contractor that you got the bid from?
One was Cutting Edge, and the other one was Aardvark One.
Aardvark?
Yeah. I assume that's a ploy to get you first in any list, given the double A.
Oh, that could be. I'm very familiar with this property. I used to live at 7100 Southeast Evergreen Highway. So is this deck, is that one of the entrances to the home?
No, it is not. The entrance is on the north side. And there's another entrance below the deck. It's a daylight basement.
Okay, but there's no entrance directly from the main floor onto the deck.
Yes, there is. But it's not how you primarily get into the house.
Okay.
There's French doors in the dining room and a sliding door in the kitchen onto the deck.
And some of these trees are your trees that you could take out that are blocking the view. Not all of them, but some of them could be.
Some of them are, yes.
Okay.
That's another expense.
Is there anyone living in the house at this time?
No.
Has there been anyone living in the house since 2013?
No.
Sounds like your husband fell off the ladder in 2020.
And he fell off the roof. Yeah. And then he fell again. So it's been 2.5 years of dealing with that.
And the lead-based paint, is that included in the $30,000, or is that interior paint that's lead-based, or out exterior, or both?
It's exterior, and it's not included.
Okay. Have you tried to talk to anybody from the assessor's office at any point in time?
I have not, no. I have filed, This last year, the assessment jump was outrageously, bigger than I'd ever seen before. So,
I don't have any more questions. Deb, I didn't get, are you here with the appellant or?
No, I work in the civil division of the prosecutor's office. I'm just observing.
Oh, okay.
I don't have any questions.
No, I have no questions. Anything else you want to add?
I'm sorry, are you talking to me?
Yes, anything else that you want to add?
No, I think the cover letter and the photographs and what we've discussed here pretty much cover everything.
Okay. you'll hear from us within 30 days.
Okay. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the May 18th, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15-minute schedule for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 725 for property ID 213-799-000. The property is owned by Scott T. Hancock and S.E. May Hancock, and it's under trustees. If there's any confidential testimony today, please let me know, and I'll start a separate recording. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Rose, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There's no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Scott Hancock present over the phone for the appellant. We also have Deb Wexelblatt present as a spectator for this case. And then for Scott, go ahead and raise your right hand. I'm going to get you sworn in.
Okay.
Thanks.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2022. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay. I submitted that one comparable, and I know that over time I've learned that one comparable doesn't make a, in other words, the thing is, it's hard, real hard to find a comparable for prime land. But I think I have found a real good one here, and it makes up for the fact that I don't have three or five or ten of them or whatever. But the one thing I want to point out right away is I received nothing from the assessor. And when I handed my work in on April the 19th, I was told that your office didn't have anything from the assessor either. And I think he's required to do that. The WAC 458-14066, upon request of the taxpayer, you know, it says he must provide comparables for the for me to look at or whatever. But the thing is, this is the first time ever that I've not received anything at all from the assessor. And did you receive anything at all from the assessor? Did the Board of Equalization get anything from at all?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I think.
Let me just tell you, he has taken a position that by looking on the GIS system, there's a place there where you can look at comparable sales. He is contending that it meets his obligation to provide information that's used in the valuation of your property. And you can use that and put in the parameters for your property and get properties in the neighborhood that are considered to be used in developing their model to provide the value for your home. And he contends that meets his obligation. And our indications are that has been approved by the Department of Revenue as his meeting his obligation. So that's all I can tell you about that.
Okay. Now that's interesting, because I had a half hour phone conversation with the Department of Revenue the other day about this subject right here. And they indicated that, yeah, it says he must provide the comparables. Now, if you take my land, because they consider it prime land, if you take my 217, whatever my number is there, and you plug it in and you get my GIS page up there and you punch to look for comparable sales, it gives you zero sales. So that doesn't apply to me, because you can't get anything at all like that. But it's interesting, though, that you say that you think that they have agreed that that's okay for him to do that. It's the first time I think I've appealed my taxes maybe 18 or 20 times over the years, and it's the first time ever that I didn't receive anything from the assessor. And the way the WAC read, that reads that he must provide comparables to, and saying that it doesn't say that he must provide me a way to go get my own comparables. It says he must provide the comparables. And, you know, comparables, we've been over this before, but comparables are not comparables unless they are adjusted to show an indicated value for the subject property. And that program he has there does not do any of that stuff. All it does is show you raw sales. But anyway, okay, so go ahead. Were you going to say something there?
No, I'm in agreement with you. I just don't know what to tell you. I mean, that's what we understand, that they feel that they've met their obligation by doing that.
Okay. Yeah, I found one docket that I was reading, and it was interesting because it mentioned that, you know, the Board of Equalization or the Board of Tax Appeals has no authority over the assessor at all as far as how he runs his process. And it said that it was the Department of Revenue, and I didn't even know that. So I called the Department of Revenue, and it took about a week or so for them to get back to me. But we talked about this and some other subjects too. And I mean, they can actually the Department of Revenue can actually fine the assessor up to $2,000 for not doing this stuff. But anyway, I don't care about any of that stuff. But the thing is, if he doesn't give me comparables to look at, I can't respond to them. I mean, but in any way, so I have one comparable here. I think it's a very good comparable. It's very, it doesn't need a lot of adjustments to it because it's very close to where I live. It's in the same neighborhood. It sold within 2.5 months of the date in question, January the 1st, 2022. The only thing that I was not able to adjust on, and I'll go over these adjustments real quickly here to make sure if you have any questions, you can ask me. But the first thing I'm going to say is on that page I have there, there's one number that is obviously like a typo. I just didn't put the 4 at the end of it. It's the second to not the furthest column to the right, but the second to the furthest column to the right. And if you come down 1, 2, 3, 4, that number that I wrote there, 97838, that should have read 978384. And that exact same number is just a little bit further down the page where I adjusted for. Okay. So that was just like a typo or something. But anyway, I've got my subject property there. I've got the comparable property. And like I say, it's less than 3 miles away from where I live. And it's adjusted first for size. And I know I understand the cheaper by the dozen type thing and all that stuff. But that actually, you know, might even work in my favor there. But the thing is, I adjusted for size, 14.85 acres compared to my 10.02, and came up with $978,384. And then I adjusted for time, and I get these time adjustments from the assessor, basically, the way he adjusts this stuff for time. And it's basically 0.83% per month, or 2.5 months would equal 2.08% difference. And it sold later, and I've got to adjust it back to January the 1st. So that took another $20,546 off of it, and I did the math right there below that and came up with an indicated value for my subject property as a prime land of $957,838. However, I'm not able to adjust for zoning. The comparable has way superior zoning to mine. It's RLD-8 compared to RLD-4. And I know you guys know how they can put a lot more duplexes and triplexes and things on it because of that. But the only reason I can't adjust for zoning is that the assessor does not adjust for zoning in his mass appraisal techniques or his comparables that he gives over the years. And he didn't give any this year, but he doesn't adjust for zoning. So I can't really look at him and see what it is. I know the difference in RLD 8 and RLD 4, which is my property, but I don't know the effect it has on the price of the actual sale prices of land that's zoned those different zonings. However, I do know that RLD 8 is far superior to RLD 4, so my comparable could probably be adjusted even further to show a lower indicated value for my property if I knew how to adjust for the zoning there. But anyway, that's pretty much it. The thing is, I covered the superior zoning, and I told you about that wrong number on there. There's a RCW, a statute 84.40.030-3A reads that he must consider zoning when he's doing this stuff, doing all of his work. He's got to consider, and he uses again the word must, and he doesn't. He does not consider zoning. And when he gives you comparable sales, he just gives you raw sales, and he'll even show graphs of how you bracketed in between these properties. But he's using raw sales to do that. He's not adjusting the sales and showing that you fell in a bracket after he adjusted the sales. He's just saying you fell in, in between, you bracketed in between raw sales, which, you know, anybody could do that. I mean, you can always find one that sold higher and one that sold lower. But anyway, he didn't provide anything this time, so I don't have anything to go on there, but I have an idea had he provided something like he must do under the WAC that requires him to do that he would have probably showed once again unadjusted sales. And so anyway, that's, I wish I had more sales for you, but it's not out there. I mean, I looked hard and I can't believe I stumbled onto this one right here. And it's, I can almost walk to it. It's so close to my place. The size is pretty close. The sale date is almost perfect. It's just 2.5 months after the January 1st. So it's a comparable that requires very little adjustments, but I think I've showed how the adjustments worked. And I also think, and I don't know how this works, but if you'll notice on that, on the GIS for that property, it is valued by the assessor at sorry about that. That's just a little alarm thing there, but he's got it valued at $1,711,671. This is the comparable that I'm using. And it sold 2.5 months after January the 1st. It sold with a statutory warranty deed of $1,450,000. So he's close to $300,000 off on it right there. Almost is enough to show he's incorrect. But anyway, I think my comparable, I only have one, but he has zero. So, in other words, I wish he had come to the meeting and I could ask him questions and things. But anyway, that's my comparable. I don't really have anything else. Unless you have questions about that comparable, I can answer. If I can't answer them, I'll answer any questions you have.
Your property is in Ridgefield also. How close to your proximity is that one?
3 miles.
You know, less. I mean, just as a crow flies, it's less than 2.5 miles away. It's to the south of me, and if you punch on the maps there, you can see it, but it's on Royal Road. But the real defining deal is it's in neighborhood 76. Which is what my neighborhood is, 76. And I found this out later, too. I found this out after researching a little more, that neighborhood 76 is prime land sales. So everything in neighborhood. I thought neighborhood 76 would include houses that are across the street from me, but they don't. They're actually in a different neighborhood. Kind of funny the way they call it a neighborhood, but I mean, it's because 76 is prime land sales in this area right here. Yeah. But it's in the same neighborhood. Yeah, same neighborhood 76, so it's close.
Yeah, got it. Okay.
Let me ask you one question real quick. I had another property I was going to use, and it borders my property, but it sold, you know, almost 12 months after January the 1st. Would that not have been acceptable? See, in other words, it sold almost a year later. I know they say to try to stay within 12 months or 3 months after or whatever. Would it have been any good to put that in? I should have probably put it in anyway and just let you ignore it otherwise. But that one actually borders my property. But anyway, that's my question is, if a property sold 12 months after, nearly 12 months after January the 1st, 2022, would that be acceptable to use that? Can you, if you adjusted it?
You can use it, but it becomes less reliable, but it still is a factor that could be considered, yes.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. Okay, and then you say you did not have any questions for me, is that correct?
No, no questions.
Okay, all right, well, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, all right, and that's it, huh?
Yep, you'll hear from us within 30 days.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And then Dan, I'll have you close it.
Close that hearing.
This is a continuation of the May 18th, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 729 for property ID 986-050-763. The property is owned by David A. Horowitz and Linda H. Horowitz, and it's under trustees. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Rose, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present at the assessor's office, but we do have David Horowitz present over video chat for the appellant, and we have Deb Wexelblatt present as a spectator. So just in case there's any confidential testimony, please do let me know. We'll start a separate recording. And then, David, go ahead and raise your right hand to be sworn in.
Do what?
Raise your right hand.
Oh.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2022. Keep in mind, the assessor has the preponderance of, I mean, has the benefit of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as to outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay. Basically, I got the notice of assessment and was a little shocked that it was up 24%. I'm retired now and I'm fixed income, and so this is our forever home, and this exceeded what I thought was my budgeted property tax. So when I got the notice, the first thing I did was I went and looked at what my neighbor's assessed values were. I was really shocked at first by the land value, but I know that you people don't look at the land value isolated. You look at the total value. So I took a look at the land value and the total assessed value so I could get a flavor for what the thinking was in our neighborhood. We have by far the smallest house and probably the cheapest house in the neighborhood, but we were not assessed that way. So when I looked at all of my neighbors, I came up with a spreadsheet, which I've delivered to you, which basically shows us being at the top end of the range on a price per square foot basis. Most of the houses are, like I said, bigger, and they're finished out to a higher level, but, you know, is what it is. But, so then I got your notice, and you said you wanted some comparable property sales in the area, and I came up with three comparable sales in the Camas area, and they all support we're smaller than all of them. We obviously built our house smaller because it's just my wife and I, and so we didn't need anything bigger. So these three comps, I feel, all support lowering the value, which I've come in with a value of $947,166, which is still quite an increase over what it was for the prior year. That's basically my case. You know, I'm not going to bore you with any other information. You've got in front of you what I looked at, and so that's my case.
Okay, you indicate on the second page of your filing that you had an appraisal done in August of 21, and it was appraised at $1,000,001 at that time, but for a HELOC, are you not in agreement with that value?
I feel my wife's a realtor, as was I, and values decreased after August of 21. So we feel that, you know, the 1-1 was certainly in that overheated market that we were in at that time, was probably a fair estimate. But we feel that as 5 months after that, the value had decreased substantially.
I don't have any questions. I have enough information.
I don't have any questions either.
I think I have the picture. All right. Thank you. You'll hear from us within 30 days.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the May 18th, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 730 for property ID 13709800. The property is owned by Bruce D. Kim. If there's any confidential testimony today, please let me know and we'll start a separate recording. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Rose, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Bruce Kim present over video chat for the appellant. So go ahead and raise your right hand. We'll get you sworn in.
Okay.
You swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I swear. Yes.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2022. Keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. Good morning. So I submitted, I just bought this property last January in 2022 with the inflated market. So I was buying at the top of the market as well. So I think that went into the assessor's valuation, but I did submit the the inspection of the property. I think that is a very telling document to the current state of the property. It's had no maintenance and had no improvements really since it was built in the early 90s. The roof is at the near end of its lifetime. All of the interior is hand-built and such. So looking at the assessment from the previous year to this year, there's an increased value in the improvements on the property by another $40,000. So I believe that's like a 30, 40% increase from the past year's valuation. So just having that, I haven't had time. I'm active military, so I haven't had time to actually do any renovations on the property yet. Currently stationed in Virginia Beach. So I am working with a forester as well, just to get as much into this property as possible, but I don't think there's enough valuation or property value increase just from market value only to justify the current improvement value. So with that as well, another factor is the timber management plan. The previous plan, I think, only had 19 acres included in the plan. I've increased that to 24. So 24 out of a possible 25 and a half or 26 acres should lower the taxable property available as well. So any questions so far I can answer?
Well, two things. One is your evaluation with respect to the increase in the timberland will not go into effect until next year. You have a different valuation because of the timberland. Okay, the value that you have on here, you have an appraisal for $588,000, and you paid $645,000 for this property. The law states that your property is to be valued at fair market value, and that is defined as what a willing buyer is willing to pay a willing seller for a piece of property becomes the market value, which becomes the assessed value. So your appraisal and your purchase price really determine the value of your property as of January 1st, because you bought it 12 days after January 1st, 2022. So that $645 that you paid for it is pretty much a peg in the ground on the value of your property. I mean, I understand what you're saying, that you probably overpaid for the property because of the heated market, and you overpaid to the extent that it has deficiencies or deferred maintenance to be done, but nonetheless, you bought the property for that amount, knowing what you know about the property. I assume you got the copy of the inspection report prior to the time you signed the final agreement.
That's all true, yes.
So I'm just telling you what the facts are that are working against you at this point.
Okay, so I don't know how the last or the previous year's assessment went, but the actual improvements on the property, not the land, were only 156. So all of that shouldn't there. When the assessor goes out, unless I'm incorrect in this, the assessor should also include in the assessment, like any other improvements, not just what I'm paying for the property. Is that correct or incorrect?
Say that again.
So somehow the assessor looked at the exact same property from the previous year, and it was valued at like 156 just for improvements only. And then just based on my purchase price alone, looked at the assets on the property and said that those are all now worth an extra $45,000.
Well, property went up during the year of 2021, from January 1, 2021 to January 1, 2022, the assessor did a study of property sales during that time period, and the countywide growth in prices increased by 21%. That's the average across the whole county. Some obviously went up higher than that, and some went, were lower than that, but the average was 21%. So if you add 21% to that, you get a fairly high number, but nonetheless, that's the way they valued it. The other thing is they value the their obligation by state law is to value the entire property, meaning the land and the improvements, and then to make a reasonable allocation between land and improvements. And that's what you've got in that valuation that they've done for the current year. So it doesn't necessarily have to track from the from the prior year to the current year. It just is at the date of the assessment, they have to make a reasonable allocation between land and improvements.
Okay. I mean, can I, so I'm looking at the notice of value. Is it possible to move the allocation though from the structures piece of this to the land?
Well,
portion of it. Because the land right now is valued at 441, which I agree with, but that's mostly what I bought is land. It wasn't structures, right?
So yeah.
I don't think you can reasonably say that the structures themselves in the portion of that increased by, you know, almost 40,000. Is it possible to just reallocate those numbers?
You would have to get an appraiser to come out and do a formal appraisal of the property in order for that to happen.
Okay, so I'd have to pay for a separate assessment outside of this appeal process.
Yeah, what did your appraiser say that?
The appraisal was very hard. The appraisal was only from the mortgage company. So he was really only looking at structures and comps in the area. But due to the size of the house and the amount of land, that ratio, there's no other realistic comps in the county.
And the home is about 1,100 square feet. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. And I would say most of that layout is garage space. So it's really not even usable, like livable space in there.
I didn't even see where he put a value on the land.
It says 1,057 square feet in the appraisal, two bedrooms, two bathrooms.
I know, but normally they put a number in here, and he hasn't done that.
No, for the cost approach.
On the cost approach. Page, it usually puts that, but there's no land value assigned.
Yeah. Most, some lenders are no longer requiring the cost approach to be completed. So that's probably the case here. It was just a lender requirement. So your appraiser did value the land. Obviously, the comparables that they used, but he didn't complete a cost approach. So we don't see a breakout value, which normally or we would see that.
I mean, it's not in this report, but I mean, just in principle, though, I've done no improvements and the property was turned over to me in a degraded state. So I think it's at least fair to say it's a baseline value from year to year on structures only.
Well, and again, you'd have to have someone come out and formally appraise that and make that allocation based on them doing some comparable work and everything like that to get that reallocation done. And you can appeal that and get it done, but you have a limited amount of time when you appeal to do that.
And on your petition, land value 75,000, improvement value 142. Was the land value 75,000, assuming that all of it was going to be in forestry? Is that why you put it so low?
I tried to just backwards math and do some calculations based off the taxable value of property that's in the timber management program versus what's residential.
We do not make that determination. We only make the determination as to the fair market value of the property. So whatever allocation gets allocated to timberland and versus the land associated with the house is done by the assessor's office. We do not audit those numbers. We do not look at those numbers in terms of evaluation.
I'm sorry to cut you off. I don't want to burn up all my time here, but so that timber management plan was assessed and submitted to the county forester. So somewhere in the county, someone has knowledge of my submittal for.
And it'll probably show up because right now your tax bill is $393,548. And if you said you transferred more acreage into the forestry program, probably on your next year's assessment, or maybe this one that's going to come out here in the next few weeks, maybe that'll show and your value will drop more, your taxable value. You'll have to wait and see. But we look at the...
Well, I would get forward tax, though, for this full year, right, at that higher value. So just because of the unfortunate time of closing, I actually started to try and close this before the holidays. But just due to timing and the mortgage company, we had to keep pushing into the next year. So that really set me back. So I would have had time to do those allocations properly. Like I said, I got PCS orders to Virginia short notice. So I did have plans to do this the right way. It just hasn't been, I haven't been able to do it just because of deployment cycle and stuff like that. So I was unaware that I needed to do a separate allocation study between land and structures just because I'm basing it off.
Well, it's off his previous assessment.
So,
yeah, it's only necessary if in fact you do have an exemption or a current use allocation. Most people don't have that, so yes, it's necessary to do that if you want as much possible into the forest land as you can get.
So does that approval come from someone else within the county?
It comes from the assessor's office. They have the people that do that, and then a forester would come out and review your plan. And you said you've already done that and put more property into the forest land. Is that correct?
It'll show up. Yeah. It just may not be as quickly as you wanted it to, but...
Well, so I'm still going to be taxed, though, for the rest of the year until next year when the correction can be made. But I will still be overtaxed, though, this year. Like, I'm not going to get a refund back for overvalued taxes.
Unless there's something that's in error on this valuation, yes, that's true.
It's not an error. It's just a delay. You just didn't get the extra five acres.
It's the timing, unfortunately. They have to make that determination as of January 1st. Of every year. So you missed it by 12 days or whatever the day, yeah.
Here's my problem, right? I missed it by 12 days. Yes, I could have tried to get the mortgage company to close faster, but so now I'm going to potentially be overpaying by like thousands of dollars for 12 days of paperwork.
I don't think it's going to be $1,000.
So you're talking about how much? I mean, what are you talking about allocating? You're talking about $100,000 being reallocated from improvements to land? I don't know what you're talking about. It can't be more than $192,000, but it's somewhere less than that.
It's $40,000 in structures that I would like to at least keep at the same level. And then however the land calculation goes, some of that property should be included in the lower
I'm telling you what they will do if you have property with a home site on it. They allocate the value of 1 acre for the home site. So it doesn't matter what you do, there's still going to be an 1 acre allocated to land for your home site. And then the rest, I mean, if you have 25 acres, you're going to get 1 acre of land for the home site and 24 acres of land for the forestry thing. They're not going to take that 1 acre off of your land, even if you plant trees right up to your doorstep.
Yeah, I'm not saying I want to take all of the acres off of it. I don't think that's reasonable at all, but, you know, 5 acres can make a big difference, at least for taxation.
Well,
is.
I don't know. I don't know what they have in non-program. I mean, I don't know what that value is. That's what you'd have to argue, and you'd argue that with the forester and the assessor.
Well, I did submit the timber management plan as well as part of my attached documents.
I don't have any further questions about this one, this case.
It's pretty difficult for us to do anything about it, that allocation at this point.
Okay, well, can I...
Your fair market value is still going to be the same, and you understand that if you take that out of the forest management plan, you have to pay the difference between those two values in back taxes.
At a later point, yes, but not yes, this current year. That's what I'm trying to correct.
Yeah, and you're trying to get, and you're going to have to go through the process of appealing that on the basis of that issue, and put that together. And then in which case we would have to evaluate what information has been submitted and why it should or shouldn't be different.
Okay, so next steps would be me paying for a private assessment to come out and do that allocation, or do I pay the assessor's office to do that?
It would probably be a private person to do that, so you could submit to the assessor's office. You unfortunately, this is the reverse of what our Constitution provides. You're guilty until proven innocent in this situation. In other words, the assessor is always right. That's what my statement at the beginning. The assessor has the presumption of correctness, and you have to prove he's wrong.
Okay. I thought I had a solid amount of documentation between the timber management plan and the inspection report. Just so I know, I'm unfamiliar with this process. Now I have to pay another private assessor to come out and do the allocation of land to structures.
You don't have to, but if you're going to have a chance of winning this argument, you're going to have some documentation to provide them. And you can appeal this ruling now and appeal it on the basis of the allocation between land and building. You can appeal that to the state, and that's that appeal process. You have to file it within 30 days after getting our report, but then they will have time. They will tell you what you need to submit, as documentation for your case. They're not in detail, but they'll tell you what you have to do. And that process will take maybe a year. I think they're closer. They have been 2.5-3 years behind on those appeals at the state level. But that appeal process will take a while, and they will tell you the timeline that's going to happen, and you'll have time to get that study done to make that. You may call your appraiser back, and he may be able to do that for you.
Yeah, that was what I was going to say, is I would probably make a call to that appraiser that did your back in October of 21 and just ask him to maybe revise and include a cost approach.
Okay. So yeah, with that addendum, then I would need to resubmit all of this to the state board. That would be the next, right. Like there's no secondary appeal at the county level.
Right. And the state level appeal is you file a form, you provide your documentation and everything, and it's another conference call just like this with the state. I'm not sure if they have video, whether it's just telephone. But anyway, it's a conference call, and your argument's the same. But it's basically what they call a nouveau. It's a whole new hearing on this issue. In other words, they don't have to be bound by what we say. They're bound by what the documentation indicates at that time.
Okay. Yeah. So you might
do a little bit of checking before you go through that process to make sure that if you can do that, because of the sale date, it may preclude you from getting any relief at all just because you didn't own the property on January 1st of 2022. So you may go through that exercise for nothing because it wouldn't, it, you may win, in other words, and it won't apply till 2023.
Okay. Well, just so I know the process, does the assessor take into account timber management changes and the inspection reports? And because the assessor never called me or anything to come out to the property. Like, all these assessments are done through the online portal.
They don't come out to people's property. It's very, 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 very rare that they
do. Well, in case of timber management, they have to have whoever approves your timber management plan, they take that information and go with it. So if the timber management plan is that you've got, you know, 26 acres and 25 and a half of that's the timber management, then that's what they have to accept. But
okay, like well, that said, was not done. So that's what's so frustrating because I did the correct process.
The problem is that I don't know if the criteria is that you have to have owned the property as of January 1st. That's the kicker for you right there, is that you have to own the property as of the date that determination is made. So if that determination is fixed at January 1st of 2022, you're screwed.
Yeah, I am. Okay, so the assessor can only... all they have to do is use the automated system and it'll just automatically calculate the increased values, right? And so it's on me as the citizen to then disprove that the calculations are incorrect, which
you got
is
it.
Frustrating. Now I have to appeal to the state.
Yeah.
To get any sort of relief for the next year. Exactly. But meanwhile, I still have to pay the same amount for the next 7 months until they may or may not look at my timber management plan with the other part of the county staff, right? Just to update those numbers. So how do I know that the assessor will actually update my timber management numbers? Is that I just have to keep calling the assessor's office to do that, to ensure that happens?
You have to insist on talking to somebody that knows what they're talking about. Because they have a desk that's the appraiser of the day, which may not know a timber from a telephone pole. So you got to get to somebody that knows what they're talking about.
We've got another appellant, another taxpayer waiting for their appointment too.
Okay. Thank you for your time.
All right. Thank you. Bye bye.
Sorry that somebody had to say something. That was going to go on forever.
Yeah. Dan, I'll have you close it.
Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the May 18th, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us is a request for reconvening. The property is tax parcel 192-637-000. It's owned by Alexander Dorhov, and they are using reconvening code number 3. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Rose, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor or for the appellant, so I'll go ahead and get into it. So for reconvening code number 3, which is the purchase arm's length transaction under 90%, they said, I am using an arm's length transaction, a bona fide purchaser or contract buyer acquired interest in the property after July 1st, but on or before December 31st of the assessment year, and the sale price was less than 90% of the assessed value. The request must be filed by April 30th, which they met. Per this requirement, I have bought my property after July 1st, but on or before December 31st. The tax bill value is $1,074.95. You can see the attached notice of value. I paid only 40% of this amount, which meets the requirement as it is less than 90%. They purchased it in November of 22 for
$425,000. Wow.
Yeah.
Big difference. Mm-hmm. I guess we should hear it.
Yeah.
Okay, I will go ahead and have you close that. We're good.
Close it here.
This is a continuation of the May 18th, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15-minute schedule for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 731 for property ID 266-399-000. The property is owned by Sandra Laycock. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Rose, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present at the assessor's office, but we do have Sandra Laycock present over video chat for the appellant. If there's going to be any confidential testimony today, please let me know and we'll do a separate recording. So we'll go ahead and have you raise your right hand. We'll get you sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Just to remind you that we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2022. Keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like her decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay. Thank you. As we've done before, the tax law, the one thing is for the land. The land is number 74. And on the same farm, Karen Eckerd is number 77. Her land was valued at $51,091. And so that's just a minor adjustment there, but it's on the exact same farm property and everything. And there's just a variation there. But the main thing is actually the actual structure. As you probably have gone through my packet there, this is on the 1 acre is within an Ag 20 zone, and it hasn't, and it was, I think 2019, it was caught that they actually had this land was not registered in the Ag 20 zone on the assessor's thing, but they changed the land value. It used to be three times as much the land value because it was supposed to be, they thought it was like it was like a standalone lot, but it is not. It's in Act 20, you can't build. And so our daughter, Shelley and Brandon Murrell were the ones that had the property, and that's the ones that first registered this assessment thing. But there, with the frustrations, they couldn't build on it because it was a tax lot only. You could not obtain a lot on it. They were not able to even build on the lot. So they weren't able to. They originally wanted to get the manufactured off and then build a home, but they weren't able to do it because of the permit process, because it was on, it's just a tax lot only. So due to that, then, so they decided to move. In fact, they moved to Florida. He was able to work remotely, and she got a different job at another, she's a nurse at the, in a Florida hospital. So the 1 acre that we had deeded to them, they deeded back to us. That took care of the land. And then the manufactured home, they tried to sell it, and they got super low offers, like 10,000, because it had to be moved. Excuse me, I got something on my screen there. It had to be moved, and they got a $10,000 offer, a $13,000 offer. So at that point, they had already basically bought their house in Florida. Anyway, we went ahead and decided to go ahead and buy it for the $20,000. So right now, the value of that home, because it has to be moved, it can't be sold, it's a tax lot only. So that's why we put the valuation down at $20,000. That's what we paid for it. So that's where the paperwork goes with that, with the $20,000. The packet that I gave to you, like before, the depreciation on a manufactured home, this manufactured home is now 20 years old. And the only way you can anything over 10 years on a manufactured home to get insurance is through Foremost. It's the only company that insures manufactured homes. And also then the value on it too. Most banks will not loan on an older manufactured home. In fact, a lot of them now won't even do a loan on a manufactured home. So that really shows the quality as far as the construction of it. There's no comparison between that and a stick-built home. And yet that is what the assessors are doing, is doing that. I guess they don't have a separate manufactured home team that can actually value of manufactured homes. And then the other thing that I presented there with the depreciation is I send a lot of information for that, showing depreciation for a manufactured home. The other thing too is the assessor's office uses a table. I think you got it. I don't know if you can see that. It's I know you can't read it, but what it is, it's the construction quality and the condition of the manufactured home. And what they do, they for the residential construction, they have the low, fair, average, good, very good. And if you look down through the definitions, the only thing a manufactured home would fall in would be fair. So I'd really like to get that changed because it always showing up as good. It's a low-cost building material, frequently mass-produced, with few upgraded materials, and a minimum building code requirements. Yes, they do meet building requirements, but that's just the minimum. That's the definition of fair. The residential condition is that many repairs are needed. Deferred maintenance is obvious. So there's several items that need repair or replacement. There's a lot of upkeep with the manufactured home. And so it would definitely be in the fair category. So, but yet it isn't reflected. If you look at the website, or not the website, but the building, whatever you call it, what is it? The building thing.
The GIS system.
The system. Thank you. Anyway, it doesn't reflect that. There really needs to be changed to actually show, especially for the residential quality of construction and the age. So anyway, that's why it definitely, we put down the 20 because that's what we went ahead and paid them. So for their move, and then.
So did you pay them 20 because you wanted to help them, or because you thought it was worth $20,000? It sounds like you did it more to help your children.
Yes, I mean the most they would get would be $10,000 to $13,000, and it would be all the heartache of trying to get it moved, and we wouldn't move it. The person that bought it would move it, but their price tag for moving was so high. That's all they would offer because of being 20 years old. And
what can you do with it, and what are you going to do with it?
We're going to right now with the farm, we're probably either my grandson or my sister right now may move into it. My sister's my grandson, he helps out at the farm a lot, and that's probably what we're going to probably do, is let him do it for a very low amount of money. We're sort of stuck with an old building that is not worth anything, yet they valued it at, what was it, $183,000 for an old manufactured home that is on a Ag 20 zone.
Yeah. No, I got it. Okay.
So do I. I don't have any other questions.
Only question I have is that.
Pardon?
I have a question on utilities. Does it have shared well and septic with the other property, the other house?
It has a shared, it's a Clark County PUD, and it's a shared water.
And what about your septic, you said?
They each have a septic.
It does. So it was approved for its own septic.
Correct.
They give you some history, John. This property is the family farm, and then these two lots were carved out just to build, just to put a mobile home on for the two daughters that were living there. And if you look at a map, these properties are out in the middle of the property as opposed to at the edge or anything else. Cannot be sold to anyone else, and it can only be used for that purpose. So it has no utility in terms of being sold to the public, but it does have the ability to use for family members, and so it wouldn't have the same market value as a mobile home setting in a mobile home park.
Right. No, I can see that. Yeah, I understand. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your time again. I'm sure appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
appeals hearing?
This is a continuation of the May 18th hearings for 2023 of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 728 for property ID 185957000. Property is owned by Kenneth Lund and Ellen Lund, and it's under a family LLC. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Rose, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Ken Lund present over video chat for the appellant. We also have Deb Wexelblatt present as a spectator. And if there's going to be any confidential testimony today, do please let me know and I'll start a separate recording. So go ahead and raise your right hand. We'll get you sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony given in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
You.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2022. Keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from Ms. Ford as to the outcome. And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
I don't have any questions. I've got the summary that you sent, which is your current assessed value of $1.836540, so roughly $1.8 million is the new assessment. The recommendation from the county is to have its value at $521.57. Its current value is $400,000. And I'm fine with the $520. That seems reasonable. If there's any intent on the county's part for it to be above that, that's what we need to discuss. So what's the county's position?
The county's position is what they recommended to you, and if you wish to accept that, we can enter that into the record and make that value.
I'm absolutely willing to accept the $521.57.
You did see in the assessor's response, which I think you got a copy of the last paragraphs or last sentences, this change will also be in effect for the 2023 and subsequent years' assessments. So I would hang on to that if you have that in what they sent to you.
Yeah, honestly, the only reason I'm on this call was we had sent that response back acknowledging and approving or accepting that finding, and it hadn't changed on the website. So I thought, you know, if they've still got it assessed at 1.8, I better get on this call and make sure. So I don't know if you can see this, but this is the letter that you guys or that the county sent us. And we signed and sent back for the 520.
The one we
We're fine
have,
with that.
The one we have doesn't show your signature yet, so they must. But I would save it just because they've been known to in a few years or whatever. All of a sudden, that's gone, and you're back up to $1.8 million. So I would hang on to that paperwork because you never know. Personnel changes.
Trust me. I will.
Okay. That's my only advice on that.
Yep.
Yeah,
we will keep hold of it. Thank you.
Thank you.
I bet you like having short meetings.
Yeah, right. All right, thank you.
Have a great day. I appreciate your help.
Thank you.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Close that hearing.
This is a continuation of the May 18th, 2023 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 733 for property ID 438-6000. The owner is Paige Scott. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Rose, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present at the assessor's office, but we do have Paige Scott present over video chat for the appellant. If there's going to be anything confidential today, just let me know and we'll do a separate recording.
I don't even care.
Perfect. Go ahead and raise your right hand. We'll get you sworn in.
Oh, here, let me move this so I'm staring at you. Okay.
There we go. Hello.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you gave in this hearing to be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2022. keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. You have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm turning it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay, well, here's where I'm at a little bit of a disadvantage. I wrote a long statement and submitted it with a lot of pictures. I did that months and months ago. I have not reviewed my statement. I have a really busy job, and I just haven't had a chance. But everything I said in my statement is my current situation. I have a house that has had some major issues. It was built in 1939. And in 2007, I found a carpenter ant nest under my front door, which led to kind of starting to take off the lath and plaster all around my living room. I ended up finding, I believe, four different carpenter ant nests, one under a window. I mean, anyway, so I have no walls, and I haven't had any walls for a really long time. And while I guess if you said, if I gave you 3 years to button up your house, that sounds like a super long time, but then when you really don't do anything but work, you just do things when you can and when you're not too tired to do them. So, the assessor's office actually, sent over two people, a few years ago, and I walked them around my house, and it's like, I have this really great house. It's very comfortable. It just doesn't have any walls. And I'm also, I also have, I've just got this re-insulation project that I've been doing, because as a 1939 house, they did blow in insulation. So when I started taking off the lath and plaster was when I found out how much insulation I don't have. Cause it was all in the like bottom 2 feet of the wall, basically. So, started re-insulating and then, layoff, them being on call. So I either have tons of time and no money to finish my house, or I have no money and all the time in the world. In 2012, the original roof, which was 1939, became so hard to maintain or unable to maintain because of, you know, it was a cedar roof. So it was like 80 years old. I had a lot of holes, which were, I would go up and I would fix a leak every time I would find a leak. But that has leaked down into the lath and plaster ceilings. So in 2012, I replaced the roof. I replaced my windows one at a time, from 2014 to roughly 2019 or so. And, then I had the house painted, which was $8,000. So, now I am leak free, which is awesome. And I finally feel comfortable to start buttoning up the walls, but then my washing machine needed to be replaced and I need a new water heater because my water heater died. So that has set me back a little bit more. But when they took a walk around my home, they said that they would give me a break, because my house is unfinished for 3 years. So I approached the BOE a year early to make sure that that was still like, do I still have another year to finish this project? And they said yes, but then I got my property tax assessment and it was like $53,000 more than of evaluation than I had last year. So I contacted them and I'm like, am I still getting a discount here? Because, I don't think my house is worth, was it $431,000, something to that effect. And they said that they had taken the fact that my house is unfinished into account and that there was nothing that they could do. And my only alternative was to contest it, which I had done several years ago, but I never had a hearing. This is the first time I've ever had a hearing. So that's why I'm here, because I do have a boyfriend and he helped me pay property taxes this year, but my property taxes represent 2 full months of my pay. That's if I had no other bills at all. And at some point I feel that the valuations rising in my neighborhood, primarily because of people who move in, buy a house for $180,000. I have several examples right around me of house flippers doing that. They buy a house, they make some improvements, they double the price and sell it. And that has led to all of the houses in my neighborhood being so expensive that I could never afford to live here. I bought my house for $85,000 in 1993. It was built in 1939. And somehow between 1939 and 1993, my house only gained probably $70,000 in value. But between 93 and 2023, I'm hundreds of thousand dollars more of a house than I bought. I did put an addition on it in 1996 for my grandmother, who moved in and died, and now nobody lives up there, but there's an apartment. And I realize that that has increased the value of my home. But at some point, I'm limited because I have a one-bedroom house. I bought the house from the owners directly. They probably would have listed it as a three-bedroom because there's a half attic that might have, I think some of their kids might have stayed up there at some point. But I've only ever had a two-bedroom house, and the bedrooms were 12 by 12, which I have a king-size bed, so if you can imagine. At some point, I tore down the wall between those two bedrooms so I could have a reasonable size bedroom and a closet. So I have a one-bedroom house, I have a one-bathroom house, and I have a single-car garage. I have a mother-in-law apartment, which has a single bathroom and a single bedroom. But again, I only have a one-car garage, and that's as far out as my house can go. That's as updated as my house can get. So at some point...
Is the mother-in-law apartment a separate building, or is it's part of an addition to your home?
Oh, it's an addition. Yeah.
It has a separate entrance? It
does, except for after she died, I opened up what was a window, so now it's a door.
Okay, so now does that mean that you do have a two-bedroom home because you have your bedroom and then the mother-in-law apartment's bedroom?
Sure, if you want to add those two together. If it was added to the home,
then it's a two-bedroom house.
Okay, and I have a two-bedroom house.
Is it two bathrooms then or one bathroom?
My grandma had a bathroom, and I have a bathroom.
So it's a two-bedroom, two-bathroom house then?
Yes.
Okay. Great. Thank you. I just wanted to clarify that. If it was a separate structure that you built for her, but you said an addition, so I wanted to make sure that it was all part of the same house.
Yeah, I tore off the roof of my garage and built her own apartment there. And it had a separate entrance until after she died. There was a window.
No, that's fine. I just wondered if it was all part of the same structure.
Yes, it is. It's just it has separate water heater. It has separate services. It's kind of a V off of mine. So since no one has lived up there for years, that's all turned off. So I would have to turn it all on if anyone was ever to be up there. But yes, technically I have two bedrooms and two baths, including the ADU.
Okay. So what you don't have is walls, interior walls. You've never been able to afford the sheetrock or whatever to put up and.
No, I can afford the sheetrock. It's just that I've been living without walls for so long. Everything is, I would have to empty the inside of my home at this point. So my plan is to do one room at a time. So yeah. I don't have to do that.
That makes sense.
But then, this year, the plan was to get started this summer. But then I had to replace my water heater, which pretty much took, what I had. So.
Okay.
So I'm sorry. I haven't ever made a lot of money, but I paid my house off. If you can see the pictures, that's currently my house. And while it's embarrassing as hell for me to have to take pictures and show you how I don't have a finished home, my home is not worth $431,000.
The county says $446,000 and you're saying it's worth $411,000.
No.
So there's
I don't know. I don't know what the numbers are. It's over $400,000.
Well, no, but
if you want to just fail me now, that's fine. No, I didn't review any of my notes.
Just stop for a minute. I just want to ask a couple questions.
Sure.
So on your petition, you asked for a value of $411,547. So that's the value you're asking for.
That value was That value was just determined by me randomly because it's like 15 or 20% above last year's value. I just added some money to it. I don't think anyone would ever buy my house for this price. And I'm not selling my house either. I'm going to be here until I die. So
unfortunately, your part of town has been kind of gentrified. You know, people are coming in and doing exactly what you said.
I know.
And flipping those houses and, you know, fixing them up. And they're kind of classic.
Well, my neighbor of Virginia, who died when she was 102, she lived in a house her husband built for her. And they purchased that, the flippers purchased her home for $185,000. And they put in a new dishwasher, redid the roof, I think tiled the kitchen, and added a dinette bench seat, sold it for over $365,000 in 3 months, 3 months later. That's been happening all over. Yeah. I have a house on the corner that they totally gutted because they were cooking meth in it. Meth. And they sold it. They bought it because it was a meth house. And the guy, Valentine, went to jail and his mom went to a nursing home because he was doing it. He was her son. They turned that house around, doubled the asking price. It was, I believe, 4 months after they purchased it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is happening all over and that's, you know, good for them. But I've been here for 30 years and I plan on being here for a lot longer. I just can't afford my property taxes. And that's the only reason I'm here. Otherwise, I wouldn't be bothering anyone about this.
That's what we're here for. I just wanted to just break in just so I could ask a couple questions because you were kind of on a roll there.
Sorry, I'm really nervous. If you want, I can take this laptop and just give you a tour around my house if you want to see it. But you've got the pictures. So
yeah,
I have a super awesomely comfy home. It just doesn't happen to have sheetrock.
Right.
Which I know is, you know, people want that.
Okay.
I got a clear picture.
We're okay.
Yeah. Okay. I think so too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is that it?
That's it.
I apologize. I'm, never been in one of these before. So
yeah,
I feel like my life is on the line a little bit here.
No, you're fine. Thank you.
Is to ask questions and give a spiel of things. So just to remind, I hope we made sure to let you know, but they do have a copy of everything. Each board member has a copy. And so this was
a chance to
talk to you and get a little bit more information. So at this point, we don't know what they'll decide, but we close the hearing out. You're good to go. And then we'll send you a letter. And then if you have any questions on the letter, you can always call us.
I appreciate you hearing me out. Thanks for the time. And like I said, I just keep trying to make more money so I can afford my property tax payment. So,
All right. Thank
you. You guys have a wonderful day. Thanks for your time.
You too. Close the hearing.